Some people think the world's like gone crazy. Mental health is being talked about now like more than ever. I mean, like our own children in school, if your kid wakes up late, they can always call in and just say, my kid's taking a mental health day. Like they got to give it to you. Workplaces are being forced to do some of this also. And, you know, mental health. And hey, I'm not here saying all of it's bad. I think some of it can be, you know, for real. I don't ever want to make it light. I'll make some jokes today. One time I made a joke. Man, I got a ton of alcoholics in my family. I made a joke one time. It was kind of regarding a drunk person. And man, I had a lady get so upset at me because her husband is actually an alcoholic. And she came and ripped into me. I said, my gosh, good golly, it was a joke. You know, and she's like, well, it's not funny. I said, yeah, you're right. Next week we'll all cry about it. Good night, you know. And so let's be careful here. I do want to know, and I want to be sensitive to your life. And because, you know, right now they say the two highest, you look at the scope of what they call, you know, mental health, you know, high on the list is always usually anxiety and depression. Them would probably be the two that a lot of us can cross the boxes on that. And then we know there's a whole nother section where we could label as, you know, mental illness, where it actually, some people have some really, really difficulty and their life is so plagued. And I just want to say this today. I tried to clarify this last week too. Life is difficult. There's people that have grown up in rough homes. Life is not perfect. Then they try to filter life themselves and figure it out, and they end up down the road thinking, you know how we all say, I'm going to do things different. I'm not going to have a home like I was raised in. You know, and you're 2 years deep in with your kids, and you're like, I am saying the same thing to my kids that was said to me. You know, you end up kind of repeating those type of cycles. And I just want you to know, I do want to say, and I can be put on record saying this, they're recording this, so I could say, I think the World Health Organization is crazy. I'm not saying everything they say is wrong, but they're crazy. They've got so many things listed as mental disorders that I am not lying. If you would read the list, everybody in this room would be like, yeah, I've got mental issues. I think what's freeing about being in church this morning, you know, when I got saved, you know, the key to meeting Jesus Christ and become a Christian is you got to admit that you're a sinner. You got to humble yourself and realize that you're not good enough, that your best is still not good enough for God. That's why he sent Jesus Christ in your place. So as Christians, we should know what humility's like, you know. When we come to Jesus, we realize, okay, I don't have the answers. Something is missing on the inside. In Jesus Christ, I need you. And so I don't think any of us would struggle at all being honest. You got to be honest with yourself in the areas and things that you struggle with. I just think the Bible provides some serious answers to this. And let me tell you, as a whole, listen at this. The big picture, I'm going to tell you the answer to all of life's problems lies in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Now, and here's the beautiful part about it. You know, in the Bible, you know, they list a lot of things. If you look at like the mind in the Bible, you'll find other passages that crosses over into the heart. Other verses will talk about the spirit. And yeah, I think there's a large scope where the Bible can cover that. We're basically just saying the inside of human beings. We could probably generalize it with that and just saying, yeah, the inside, big picture, that's where the brokenness lies. And anybody that's in here that's ever thought, you know what, I got friends over here that are in difficult. You know, these guys are punks. You know, so I'm moving and you move. And all of a sudden, the place that you move, you're like, guess what? Your new friends. Guess what they are? Just ask your mom. Ask your dad. Your mom and dad will say, man, your new friends are punks. And you got to come to a great conclusion. You know, if you struggle with dope in this room, if you're any kind of addict, isn't it crazy? You know how it is. You like get a light blue Toyota Camry. And you're like, ain't this a sweet car? Yeah, I just like, I've never seen it before, like this color, it's just good, it's sweet. Then you start driving around the neighborhoods and you're like, oh, there's a blue, light blue Camry. Then you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and you're like,
there's two cars behind me that look. You start realizing something. Hey, there's more light blue Toyota Camrys than you realize, isn't there? But you just thought like you were the only one. And you know, and I think that's how us as human beings are, aren't we? We're that way, and I'm telling you, the Bible says that there's no temptation that has taken you, but such is this common to man. Listen, we've got common problems. They're human problems. The bottom line is, we admit right from the gate, when I met Jesus Christ, I came to him and said, okay, Lord, this boy's broken. Something's wrong here. And you know, my brother found himself struggling really hardcore with drugs, so he decided to move several states away from his drug-using friends. And he ends up in Florida, and you know who he finds? He gets a job at this factory, and you know, every one of his friends, it was like a magnet. They were all drug users. He's like, man, I draw these people. I was like, yeah, you know, we tend to be like that, you know? Once we decided we were going to start a ministry to Hispanics. And the reason why is at that particular time we had a bunch of, it was actually Mexicans that were coming over. A lot of them were illegal. And we thought, well, who cares? That wasn't our issue. Our issue was we believe that Jesus Christ, everybody needs Jesus because everybody's broken on the inside. Can we all agree with that? You were all broken. And we decided to start. Well, I had a guy tell me, he's like, you know, the key to this is you got to integrate them. So the Hispanics that would come in, you need to make sure they're all part of your church. And so there was a bigger church that had a larger ministry. And like, that's what we do. So I go to this meeting. I'm two states away. I go to this meeting where there was just supposed to be a bunch of Hispanics to talk about this kind of ministry. And there was a bunch of other people in there. And I sat back and I just watched the room unfold as 100 people were there. And I was just like, huh, isn't this funny? And I got to tell the pastor, I was like, hey, look, all the advice you gave me, look over here, this section and these tables, all the Hispanics are sitting together. Everybody else is sitting over here. I just don't necessarily think that's a problem. I just think that's life a little bit. Don't just, you know, it's kind of like if there was a group of men in this room over here and a group of ladies over here and I walked in as a stranger. What group am I going to go to? Well, today it would be a 50-50 probably. I'm telling you, most logic, I would just kind of like, these were the men are at, I'll go over here, you know. Because I know what it's like to go over in this. I live in a house of women. It's abusive. It's rough. So I'm like, I'm going over here, you know. I go where the cigarette smokers are. That's what I choose, you know. But the bottom line is this. Last week we started this session, and what we really wanted to talk about is the Bible basically shows that God creates everything in order. We've seen it from the very beginning before Lucifer fell from heaven. Heaven was perfect. God had these beings that praised and loved and worshiped him. When Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High, God gave him the boot. He took a third of the angels with him. There was a rebellion, and all of a sudden there was chaos in heaven, and God says, oh, no, we don't allow chaos here. And he lets it go. So all of a sudden, God creates planet Earth and creates Adam to try to reproduce sons of God that would praise and love and worship him, to replace the third of the angels that fell. A lot of doctrine there, but that's just how it is. And then the next thing you know, Satan comes along in the garden and tries to manipulate the thinking of human beings when God said, this is the standard, this is the rule. Satan comes along and says, it's not true. It's not true. So mankind chose to not think the way God said he should think. And before you know it, the world is in chaos. So God didn't allow chaos in heaven. He kicked it out. It landed on planet Earth. And now, folks, we were born into chaos. Everybody. Everybody's born in chaos. Do you know how fast the world's spinning right now? It's spinning faster than the cycle, the rinse cycle on your washing machine. Wouldn't you think we'd be dizzy? It's chaotic, man. This place is freaking out, man. It's just so big we don't quite feel it. Now, if I jump off this stage, I'm splatting. I'm landing down. I mean, it's pulling. And that we've learned to fight against it. But there's something pulling all of us down right now. It's gravity, right? That's just how the thing works. I just want you to know we're all born, the Bible says, lost and in our sin. We're born separated from God. That means you're born in chaos. Now, God is a God of order. Do we believe that? Yes. God is a God of order. He clearly says that, especially, he had to really teach it in the book of Corinthians, because the Corinthian church was a buck wild church. you know, like the music would kick in and everybody'd start running around, bah! And it was screaming, rolling on the ground. And I was in a church like that. One way a lady fell on the ground. They said, well, she's just slain in the spirit. I was like, I'm pretty sure she's having a seizure. Something's wrong here. And what was weird, she started trying to lift up her dress every time she, I'm not lying. And then cuss words came out of her mouth. And most people would say, well, she also has Tourette's. That's why she's doing that. I'm like, no, she wasn't doing that beforehand, you know. It just got like a little on the crazy side. So Paul had to come down in the book of 1 Corinthians and say, guys, I want you to know something. God's a God of order. If everybody comes in, we started music one week in church. I'm speaking now. I'm going back in history. Go back in history a little bit. We started music in church, and there was just a few of us at that time. Music's rolling, and life is going good, and all of a sudden a lady, like out of nowhere, reaches in a book bag, and she pulls out a tambourine. And this lady starts tambourining. Hey, we got two tambourines up here. I like tambourines. Some people can tambourine in time, you know, on timing, you know, and some people can't. And she just thought, man, she's just going to add to the whole thing. And let me tell you what, it became like chaos. She's out there jinga-janging, and everybody literally started dropping money in her pew thinking she's raising money for the Salvation Army. I was like, it ain't Christmas time. There's no red bucket there. What's she ringing bells back there for? And she wasn't invited. She didn't even come to band practice. She was just going to add. So I was just like, hey, next week, why don't everybody bring an instrument? Bring whatever you want. Hey, if you can't play an instrument, bring a Bluetooth speaker and play it on your phone. You know, we'll all play music together. And you know what that would be? It would be a rave, man. It would be insanity. Start blinking the lights furiously. And then the best thing we could ever do, how could we cope with that? Here's how you cope with that. Drugs, man. Then it would feel better. This is good now, isn't it? Well, if you think so, it's chaos. It's chaos. This lady came in and I had to tell her afterwards, hey, what's the deal? And she's like, well, no, I played tambourine at our last church. Well, that's not a problem. If you're a professional tambourine player, then come on in and maybe we can use you in the music. But, you know, we got a structure. We've got an order here. And you just busted the order. I love in the middle of a football game when somebody just strips their clothes buck naked and just takes off running down the field. That is not supposed to happen. You know, there's an order here. We got a time. There's a game. There's two teams. There's 11 boys on each side of the field, an offense, a defense. There's referees all over the place. And then there's a naked person. And I'm just like, my gosh, you call yourself professionals. That guy shouldn't get three steps and get annihilated, right? But it don't usually happen that way. Or it could be a girl. They'll do that too. Girls like to run naked on baseball fields. It's usually the dudes. I think they know the big hits are coming, so they go out there and strip naked. What is that? That's just chaos, isn't it? That's crazy. Yeah, there's rules. There's boundaries, you know? That's why in every football game you watch, they're like, stop the play. We don't think that was a touchdown. Did the ball actually cross the end zone? They slow pay. Why? Because that line right there is super important. If you're 20 yards from it, and it's fourth down and you miss the play, everybody's like, yeah, they didn't score. But now all of a sudden, you're several inches away and the ball's over and people are like, oh, I think the ball went over the line. That's a point, man. That is 6 points. That's a touchdown. Stop the camera. They zoom in. They realize, oh my gosh, the ball did go over, but went over. Did you see it before it was over? The guy let the ball go. And they get detailed on this thing. Why? Let me tell you why, gang. There's rules. Their structure. It's the only way they can make it work. You know how it is. I used to do Little League Baseball. When my girls, especially Josie, played some softball, and they would always just say, hey, we need some parents to umpire. That's the lousiest thing in the world. Because here's a game going on. You want your kid's team to win. And, you know, and they put me behind the plate. You know, I'm calling balls and strikes back there. And you know what it is? Every ball that the other team threw was a ball. You know? And then when our pitcher got out there, I was like, oh, you know, I was calling, and they're like, how can you call that? The ball went over the backstop. I said, don't question me. I am the authority here. You know, they have to have rules. There has to be an authority, because if not, you have chaos. And last week, that's what we showed, man. We approved using God's word. If there's not a standard, if there's not a structure, and guys, here's the real problem in this gig. We're talking about mental health. We all have opinions. That's what makes it difficult. You know, people are like, if something's just a little bit more concrete, and that's why they got to make decisions. Baseball, balls and strikes. It's not just perfect. It's getting to the point where they're going to put a computer back there, and if it lands in this square, digital square, it'll be known what it is, ball or a strike. But the game of football, there's always a human element in it. Whenever there's a human element, you know what happens? The lines start blurring. See, we all got opinions, and it becomes very, very dangerous. So last week, we just looked at that. We've seen that our God is a God of order. And so basically, I don't care how smart, I don't care how educated you are, or she is, or he is. I don't care if you're a licensed psychologist. It don't matter if you're a doctor. That is really irrelevant, because the Bible says this: all of the sciences falls under God's authority. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says this in Psalms 111 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, guess what you have? You ain't very smart. That's what the Bible says. You don't have nothing. We're not talking IQ here. What's God say? Because see, in this room right now, we have 50 opinions on a variety of subjects. Did you know there's one opinion in this room that matters most? And just because I have a microphone doesn't mean it's mine. It's the Lord's. What's God's word say? You ever ask yourself that question? Hey, what's God think about that? Because he's the creator, if you believe the Bible. Now, if you don't, that's a whole other different subject. But do you guys remember, you know, last week we used that verse in Romans 1:28. It says that they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. See, what God will do, God will allow you to think the way you want to think. God gives you choice. It's called free will. If you don't want to retain God in your knowledge, then guess what you're going to be? You're going to be off a little bit. That's what the Bible, you'll have a reprobate mind, or that word actually means cast away. I like to use the word garbage. You will not think correctly. So basically, mental health or being mentally ill is a finer line than we'd like to think it is. More people struggle with that. Even people that would be sharp, and people would say they got their act together. I'll tell you what, I remember years ago, you know, I thought, my gosh, my family all worked in factories. I got a bunch of addicts in my family, you know. And so I just thought, what do I know, right? And all of a sudden, I got to a point where they asked me to be on this board in town. So I'm 6 years on this board, and before you know it, I'm a chairperson. Well, I'm the chairperson. There's principals of schools. There was a doctor in town. There were some nurses, business owners. Like, these are sharp people around the table, and then there's me. You know, I felt like I didn't belong around the table, and now I was at the head of the table. Which is really weird. You know, and then they give me all this stuff to do, you know, I don't know, anybody that's ever sat on a board, you're like, Robert's Rules of Order, and people got to motion this and second that, and this motion's approved, say aye, you know, all the stuff they had in place. I dug through those notes, by the way, because I got accused every week of saying, hey, you're not following Robert's Rules of Order. That's just like the standard of business meetings. And I finally got, and I scoped, man, I went through all the details of the book they gave me, a notebook of all the details of how this whole thing works, and literally scoured through 200 pages and never found Robert's Rules of Order listed. So the next meeting, I was able to say, when a guy just said, hey, Mike, because I'm just literally like, well, what do you guys think about that? I want to go around the table, and I want everybody, you're a board member, I want you to tell me what you think about that. This is how I'm talking to guys, like, hey, Mike. Once again, you're not using Robert's Rules of Order. I slipped this book over, all of the policies that they put together in this place. I slid the notebook over, and it was one of those binders that's thick on the back. And I opened it up, and I said, show me in the manual. You show me in the policies of this place that we need to use Robert's Rules of Order around this table. And he goes, well, it's just what we've always done. Ah, I gotcha. They're not in there. I scoured every page of this thing. Yeah, but it's just the way we've always handled things. Hey, I get it, dude, but I'm just letting you know. I'm following the book. Guys, I really think life is this way. I think this is the book of life. Our Creator gave it to us and put it together. And some people like to think Bible, B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving Earth. And I like that. This is our basic instruction manual. This is it. And if the Bible backs it, then we need to back it. If I think differently than this book, oh, we got an opinion. God's opinion versus mine. You're foolish if you take mine. Take this every time. God's word. And so let me tell you, mental health, I'm not a doctor, so I'd be way out of my league if we started talking about signs and things of mental illness. And, you know, the problem is our culture. Now, everybody can take these mental health days. But, guys, I got news for you. If you give me 7 days a week, like I went to bed late last night. I'm not lying. I thought, my gosh, I feel like I'm even getting a headache. And by the time I fell asleep, and you know, this morning before my alarm went off and anything, at 4:30, bing, I'm up. I was kind of anxious, actually. Like, man, I got to get to the church. Is it going to rain today? We got to set up tables out in the street. You know, we got a lot to do. What's the band going to do? We got to take all of our equipment out. I mean, my mind's working. I just couldn't get back to sleep. And I got up. I just thought, you know, man, this morning I wasn't very mentally healthy. I just wasn't. And, and then you come in, you make a decision. Who made the right decision? Mark's out there flipping pancakes. And I walk out at one point. And it's like 69 degrees outside, the sunshine, the breeze is going along. And I smell pancakes there. I'm like, wow, it's perfect out here. I'll go back inside. Who makes those kind of decisions? Hey, I'm thankful that thunder clapped, man. I heard rain on the roof a little bit earlier. I was like, yes. Who made that decision? I was trying to get anybody to make it. Nobody wants to make it. That's called leadership, isn't it? You got to make those calls. And sometimes people say, you made a bad move. And you got to say, who, me? Yeah. Wish we'd have been outside. Well, we'd have been wet this morning, I guarantee you that. But guys, the bottom line is this. There's an order to life, and that order is found in this book. Now, we're Bible believers. Not everybody believes that. And you know what we do? God gives everybody free will. We give them the same. Don't we have to agree? I mean, I have people say, well, you know, I know you would be against me because I maybe live this certain lifestyle. Well, the Bible would go against that for sure, but everybody's born in sin. Everybody's born broken. I don't care how that brokenness comes out. All of us need a Savior. That's not a big issue to me. I'm not a soapbox issue guy. That's not it. It's bigger than that. You know, but yes, I do have a standard. What's your standard? And everybody will answer you today and say, I am my own standard. Well, that's a dangerous spot to be. Now we have broken people making rules. We have freaking nutballs making decisions for the group. And I'm like, we're all nutballs. We're all going to be crazy then. But that was last week we really covered that order versus chaos. And nobody denies that we need more order, right? We need structure. Let me tell you what happened to me, and then I'll get on to some new things. And by the way, I love that story in the 15th century about the cat ladies, them nuns, that convent, true story, this French convent, and that lady started meowing like a cat. So they have all these quiet hours, and all of a sudden, it's at nighttime, and some lady, meow, meow. They're like, what in God's name? What is Sister Hazel over there, you know, meowing like a cat? And so they're goofing, meow, and they start going, back and forth. Before you know it, every nun in this place is meowing. It wasn't until the neighbors called the authorities and says, we don't know what in God's name is going on. But at 9:30 every night, there's a major cat chorus going on over there. And so they go in and they literally, back in the 15th century, they threatened to whip all of them. We do it again. We're pulling out the clubs, man. You guys are getting whippings. The cat chorus ended that day. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. But we do the same thing. You're born into some freaky family. We all come from freaky. There's dysfunction in every family. People start doing things and acting certain ways, and we find ourselves doing the same thing. We repeat it. And you know why? We're crazy. We're just a little crazy. We repeat these things. Normal today is not working. So you're just like, would you just be normal? My friend, don't be normal. Do not do that. It's time to be different. It's time to be very different. I went into Dollar General the other day, and you know why? Dollar General sells the cheapest Monster energy drinks, right? But I go there, and unfortunately, when you have $1.50 in your pocket, and you go there, and they're like, oh, you can get, you know, 2 for $5 or whatever. And, oh, $2.35. I forget what they are. It's something like that. I grab those things out of there, and I'm like, $2.35. I went up and they got that self-scanner. I scanned it. Said 235. she said, well, first of all, it says only card here. I got change out, you know, and she's like, yeah, you can only use a card here. And I was like, well, I want to use my cash. She goes, well, then we need to go to this register. I said, no, I want to use this register here. She said, I can help you over here. But I said, no. She finally talked me into going over there. So I went over to the next register. She goes, that'll be $2.35. I put out my $1.52. And she goes, man, you're short. I said, no, I'm not. She said, you're short. It's $2.35. I said, ma'am, listen to me. There's $2.35 there. Count it again. And then I'd realize, okay, I'm a Christian man. I should probably be honest at this point. I said, ma'am, okay, this is all I got. And honestly, that's all it's worth. So I'm just going to give you my $1.52. She goes, it's $2.35. She goes, mister, you're going to have to hit the door. You're causing trouble. Now the line's backed up, so I just had to get louder. That's what you do when you want your way. And I just got a little bit louder. I was like, what do you mean? Does anybody in this place think this thing's worth $2.35? Anybody? Nobody thinks that. It's worth $1.52. Everybody go get a Monster Energy drink. $1.52, you know. And anyway, by the time it was over, the Monmouth Police Department came in. Joe Bratcher said, hey, Mike, you're being a little ridiculous. And I said, I'm not wrong, Joe. He was, Mike, they set the prices. That's the problem. They set them wrong. He's like, Mike, somebody at corporate set those prices. It isn't this lady's fault. I said, well, she's the one telling me I need $2.35. What's the deal here? Before you know it, he goes, I don't want to put you in handcuffs. So he says, just come out here with me. I said, no, I'm not coming out there because I'm going to get exactly what I want. Before you know it, I'm behind bars at the Warren County Jail. And I'm telling everybody, I shouldn't be behind bars here. I'm justified in the way I'm thinking here. They're dead wrong. If all of us would get together, we might be able to change this thing, you know? Come on. It's crazy out there, isn't it? And the bottom line is this. You can drive 55 in a school zone if you want. Because you think you're a good driver and you're careful. You're not going to hit a kid. You're really watching and you're really careful. But you know, they post a sign saying it's got to be 25. And they're going to give you a ticket. And if you're going fast enough at 55, you're going to take your license. You're probably going to go to jail. And I got news for you. I think the speed limit down that particular street should be more. Well, there's a way to change that law and the way to change people's thinking. You got to go through the whole structure and go to the city council meetings and propose, put that thing on the agenda. Nobody's going to do that thing. The bottom line is this. If everybody's opinion matters everywhere, we're going to have to start the purge, man. That's how you're going to have to keep order. One night, for a certain amount of hours, there are no rules. And people need to die. It's brutal, isn't it? It's crazy. It is crazy. And the bottom line is, it's kind of like, you know, people going in, like going to the Dollar General during COVID. They're like, sorry, sir, you need to put on a mask. I don't think we should wear a mask. Hey, sir, corporate said, everybody that comes in these doors, I don't care what corporate say. For real? That's their place of business. It'd be like me coming to your house. They take your shoes off. I got mud on my shoes. Hey, Mike, can you take your shoes off? I don't think that I should have to take my shoes off. That's not real hospitable. Yeah, but man, I don't want to clean up the mud after you're gone. Yeah, but why would you even say that? Just clean up the mud and keep it yourself. You know what I mean? No, I don't know what you mean. And me and you are going to be out in the front yard, and I'm probably going to have grass stains on my clothes. That's ridiculous, isn't it? No, that's exactly how our culture is working right now. It's that crazy, like everywhere. And let me tell you what, we have been far removed our culture. We are a postmodern Christian culture, and boy, you can see it everywhere. Everywhere you go, the standards have dropped. Everybody, you know what the Bible says in the book of Judges, any man, when there's no authority, there's no order, there's no structure, it says every man does what's right in his own eyes. It's possible, the Bible says, that there's a way that seems right unto man in Proverbs, but the end thereof leads to death. But you think it's right. You're dead sincere on this thing. Yeah. You're just, And people argue that all the time. I'm so sincere about this, though. Sweetie, I know you're sincere, but you're just sincerely wrong. Don't talk about your sincerity. You know, there's a verse, and I think if I quote this verse, if you've grown up in church, you're going to know it. Proverbs 29:15 says, "A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Because kids need trained, don't they? Kids need order. Kids need structure. And don't you know that, speaking of the Dollar General, going to the Dollar General and you always see that. I always meet two, three kids and I'm like, wow, something's wrong here. That family lives in chaos. They're fighting each other. Kids want to, people are grabbing things. It's utter chaos. And then what happens, if you decide that you're going to project yourself in and maybe help somebody out and just say, hey, son, you know, put that down, man. Your mom's wrestling a kid over here. So you're like, hey, kid, put that thing down. Of course, usually about that point, mom will say, what are you saying to my child? You're like, oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to help you. Said you need to put this down. He's getting ready to rip this bag of chips open. Ma'am, you're getting ready. You're fixing to buy this bag of chips. I'm telling you right now. I'm just trying to help you. It's chaos. But see, what happens when a kid is left to himself, you're born into this planet and you just got very few needs. One need is something's wrong here. I feel weird. Ah! Usually that means feed, hungry. And then like 20 minutes later, it's like, ah, at the other end. Ah, what's your kid crying for? I don't know. I just fed him. Well, check the other end. And then you find, oh, he's probably burnt. He's probably on fire. Yeah, and then you clean him up, right? Kids got those needs, right? They're hungry. They're tired. And they poop themselves. You know, it just, and that's what happens. Before kids have opinions, before they can speak, you've got parents. And the Bible says, but a kid left to himself is going to bring your mama to shame. Because what happens if you're a parent that just give their kids what your kid determines when they're going to eat, your kid determines when they're going to sleep. Guys, it's not supposed to be that way. You're going to be a mom one day and be utterly ashamed of your kid. And yet you won't want to take responsibility for it either. Ain't it weird? But the Bible says that. A kid left to himself bringeth a mama to shame. Because they can't be left to themselves. But our culture today is telling us this. That everybody can determine their way. Everybody can determine what they think is right and wrong. There's no standards. They put the piece. They do the same thing with religion. I like this religion over here. I like this piece of this religion over here. I like this piece. What religion do you believe? It's my own religion. That's right. You know, and you put it all together, you mix it up, and you're like, I like this. Well, I got news for you. You might like that. You ever met a weirdo like that? Somebody just said, you know, like you're eating a peanut butter sandwich or something. They're just like, hey, man, have you ever tried mayonnaise and peanut butter? I'm like, no, but I'd like to slap your father. Who allowed you to do that? That's weird, you know? And then, sure enough, every once in a while you try something weird like that, and you're like, I don't know how they discovered this, you know, like which mushrooms are good to eat and which ones are not. Somebody played that game. Somebody pulled a Russian roulette. Somebody died of eating mushrooms and other people like them portobellos are great and we can charge $30 a plate for them. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. It sure is amazing. But a child left to himself will never turn out right. My point in saying a child left to himself, listen to this. Here's the big point for today. A heart left to itself will never turn out right. Never. Just like a kid, because the Bible says when we're born with a heart, and a heart is just made, it's hungry, man. It's made for desire. Every kid on the planet, if you're going to bring them, hey, I'm just telling you, I don't know what you think about County Market. I don't know what you think about Dollar General. But all of a sudden, you're walking through the store, and you're like, man, this is all this stupid stuff. They're selling stupid stuff in this store. This place is crazy. Nothing but stupid stuff. And then all of a sudden, you get to the aisle where you're checking out, and you're like, oh, candy. Ooh, Thuckers. Gum. Turn around, there's Doritos. There's little bags of Doritos right here. It's everywhere. All of that. And there's all kind. I'm like, I should have skipped the whole score and just come right up into here. And then guess what? There's a little cooler right there. And like, there's Monster Energy drinks. All right, they know what they're doing. You know what they know? A child left to himself brings his mom shame. All they need to do is get you to bring a couple kids through there. And mama, you're going to purchase something. Pops, you're going to purchase something, ain't you? Why? Because chaos is fixing to erupt. Unless there's a parent that has order. And some parents, there's nothing wrong with getting your kids something a little bit special. But when your kids are going to lay there and throw a fit because they didn't get what they want, this is what the heart does. The Bible says the heart desires wants. I want what I want. I want this. I want that. I need this. I want this. I need this. I want this. I need this. I want. And the Bible just says that you get a heart in that kind of condition, and you know what you're going to end up with? Yeah, diabetes. That's exactly what you end up with, right? So when we're talking about the inward man, 1 Peter 3:4 talks about the hidden man of the heart. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about yet another verse where it'll use the inward man. So we're talking about mental health here. So what's the definition of the mind? And there's a lot of things out there and people will say this, but you know, like the popular definition of that would be the mind is nothing but like intellectual activities. The Bible takes it a step further and just tells the truth. The mind, the heart, the inward man is actually the initiator. It initiates. It's the start. Of moral action. It's the start of it. You know, every action started with some sort of behavior. Something on the inside. Wrong or right. It just does. And so here's what the Bible says. We're not going to turn here, but Acts 28:27, it says, a lot of people, it says, and their heart was waxed gross and calloused. The human heart is full of unbelief. I don't know if you know this or not, but your kids, the Bible says, are born liars from the beginning. If they don't want to sleep, they'll make your life a living hell. If they want to eat, they'll make your life a living hell. You're just like, yeah, but she's a sweet little girl. Well, if you would tell the truth, she's a monster, man. Her flesh is never satisfied. They want what they want. And I'll throw a fit. I'll tear this place up if I don't get what I want. It's funny. That happens up in the jail sometimes. We go up there and there'll be a guy who won't get what he wants. And he's literally saying, man, he's hungry. So they give him something. He ain't happy with it. He's like, man, I need to heat this stuff up. Sorry, dude. We got to feed other people. That's what you got. This guy will take the meal that he's hungry for, begging for. Then he throws it out, throws it between the bars. So we go up there. There's rice. There's corn. There's bits of chicken. We're like, what's this for? And he goes, yeah, I told him, man. They need to heat that stuff up. I was hungry, you know. And I'm just like, wow. Dude, now you're really hungry. And open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Yeah, that's how church works. But see, the heart is weird. It'll deceive us. That's what the Bible says about the heart. It's desperately wicked. But everybody say, oh, you know, I know that guy. I know that lady murdered two people. But I'm telling you, she was my neighbor. She has a good heart. I don't know what your definition of good heart is. But it's obviously not the same as the Creator's. The Bible says the human heart is desperately wicked. The inside of humans is wicked. That's why we always, if you want to talk politics, forms of socialism usually end up in a culture being bad. And I'm not, don't, you know, get crazy on me here. You know, what are you? You know, you a libertarian? You know, what are you? A Democrat? No, I'm just saying socialism as a whole, they believe that men are good. Men and women, human beings are good. So you got to control them. As long as you control them in the right environments, everything will be good. As soon as you get a human, a free will, that's when it gets crazy. So they believe human. The problem is their whole premise starts off, it's not biblical. The Bible teaches, no, humans are bad. You're born in sin. So you're going to try to control a bunch of sinners? Yeah, you're going to have an infatuation with rattlesnakes, and so I'm just going to have 45 of them in my bedroom. Hey, good luck with that. I'd like to say see you tomorrow, but I probably won't. You know, that's ridiculous, right? It's utterly ridiculous. A heart left to itself is full of unbelief. It's waxed gross. Or Mark 3:5 says, they're stiff-necked and stubborn. On the very inside, the human beings are stubborn, you know. That's what everybody just says, this child of mine, oh, this kid's so stubborn. I've never met one that wasn't. Have you? I know there's more kids that are more compliant than others. Say it this way, they're less stubborn than others. That's the truth of the matter, right? But they all got their own will. Or a stone heart, Ezekiel 11:19 says. Proverbs 12 says, hearts are deceitful and they're evil. They're desperately wicked. Let me take you to Jeremiah 17. Everybody turn to Jeremiah 17. It's a big one. Find the book of Psalms, then just start going towards the New Testament. You'll eventually hit the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, and it says this. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's bold, man. Hey, above all things? Yeah, we're talking like people want to talk about the devil, man. Ooh, like evil. Ah! Louis Cipher. Woo! Lucifer. You know, you want to talk about the heart's deceitful above all things. What's it say next? It's desperately wicked. Here's the next thing. Who can know it? Who can know it? Well, I'll tell you this much. There's one that knows it. There is one. You want to seek out your own methods in your own heart and try to do that even though you're desperately wicked? People don't like to admit that, but it's just true. My friend, you're going to end up in deep, deep trouble. You know what psychology is? Psychology is the science, but it deals with the mind. Or like, you know, it deals with mental issues and mental pressures, and psychology is the science dealing with the mind. So check this out. Science. If you want a good definition of science, and everybody always acts like, you know, it depends on what subject you're talking about. People are like, man, the Bible's against science and science against the Bible. That is not true. People want to think that about certain, maybe on a certain subject, but as a whole, it's not. You know what science is? Science becomes the pursuit and application of knowledge. Science is supposed to be based upon evidence. Science is supposed to be, and here's a definition in the dictionary, says objective observation. Objective observation. You know what objection means? Facts, not feelings. Facts, not feelings. And so it used to be that people would argue if there was a principle in the Bible, and they would take science and try to weigh it out. Well, if you want to go to that, and if you're a fact person and you're going to put it on the factual scale, we can have a real good argument here maybe on this thing. But you know what's happened today? You know, it's like I fall off the stage, crack my arm, my arm's over here an inch and a half. So I got a dangly arm. You know, everybody's like, that's a broken arm. That dude's bones broke. Look at it. And it's just flopping around here. That guy, it becomes very clear to people, right? But then all of a sudden you say, he's a little mentally off. Who's going to determine that? Them things are weird. They're hard to see. There's people that are depressed and never let you know it. You ever, you know, we just here a few years back, we were all like, Robin Williams? Really? Unfortunately. He left the stand-up stage and ended up doing movies, and you just think, man, wouldn't a guy like that that's so funny and now so wealthy, he's got it together, don't he? He did not have it all together. But it looks so right. Yeah, that's what humans tend to do. That's why we all dressed accordingly this morning, didn't we? Really, I don't care if you're fat or skinny or something you want to cover up or you got a sore on your arm or... What do you do? And ladies, at least you got makeup. Jeez. Sometimes I get some ugly on me. I'm like, oh, man, I guess that pimple's going to... People are afraid to talk to me. They're afraid it's going to burst as I'm talking to it and get them wet. No, you can pop that thing and cover it up, you know? Do a little painting. Be a construction worker. That's what you do. Science is supposed to be objective observation. But now we've crossed the line. Because now we got all kinds of issues that are on the table, especially people that are dealing with mental health, and they're not based upon facts. Oh, then people sit back and say, but it's a facts to me. No, what you're really dealing with is you've just crossed the factual arena, and you've entered an arena called feelings. What are you going to do with that? You can't deny that. Right? Somebody's feelings. And she's like, you just yelled at me. And I'm like, I did not yell at you. Well, I felt like you did. The facts are, I did not yell. Yeah, but I feel that, hey, she feels you yelled at her, so you yelled at her. Who's crazy here? What's, you know what's crazy about that? Now they even slip that under a scientific label a little bit. And this is what mental health can be, and it's a slippery slope. I'm not gonna lie. But it gets slippery. Because all of a sudden, just because somebody feels a certain way, it's gotta be that way. I want you guys to know that the Bible is a book of facts. This is a factual book. Now this human being here, I got real feelings. I'm not going to lie. The best thing I do when my feelings get out of sort, and they do, they frequently, and I'm a very emotional man. I get emotional easy. I'm not lying. You know, tears can come easy to me. Anger can, and I hope I don't cross that line like 1 Timothy 3 says I shouldn't cross that line because I'm a pastor. But I do. I'm not lying. Those things, feelings come up to the surface. You know, people that know me and my wife will just say, man, and my girl said the other day, man, dad, yeah, you cry easy. I'm like, well, you know, dad, you're a sissy. Then they bullied me, kicked me out of the house. It was awful, right? You know, I know, they know I'm emotional. I got news for you. There's one thing that'll dry up my emotions. There's one thing when my emotions are all over the place and they're dripping wet and they're getting the furniture messed up, and there's one thing that controls all that crazy, and you know what it is? The facts. The facts. So gang, what we're really dealing with here is when we're explaining like sciences and psychology and mental health, we're dealing with the culture that operates on feelings. Nothing more than feelings. You know, sorry, it's dating me. The heart's deepest need, and people would say, man, we just need to educate people. About what? About what? Well, they want to educate us really in the realm of feelings. And even though the facts might point this, the feelings can make you say anything you want to say. Listen to me, the heart's deepest need is not education. It's not even knowledge. You know what the heart's deepest need is? The Bible says it's desperately wicked. The heart needs to be made brand new. It's called a transplant. My human heart needs changed. You know, it's funny because human beings, the Bible says you're born in sin. If you're born in sin, the Bible says that if you believe that, whether you believe it or not, it's true. But the Bible, the facts say we're all born in sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You'll burn in hell forever if you don't know Jesus Christ as a sinner. Now, man, that's hardcore. Yes, it is hardcore. I am not going to lie. That's hardcore, man. The Bible's true on that. So basically, then you're going to burn in hell. That's a penalty for being a sinner. Yeah, but now God made a way. He brought Jesus Christ for redemption. And he says it over and over again that he can make and give you a brand new heart. He'll move on the inside. On the inside, this inward man that's empty, that's dead, that's trying to be desperately filled, and I desperately want to be happy. The Bible will give you the factual. It'll give you the real thing. Make your spirit come to life. It won't be a dead spirit trying to convince everybody else you're alive. No, it's only Jesus Christ that can make that alive. That's what the Bible says. So the heart, Jeremiah 24 says this. He said, I will give you a new heart so that you can know me. The very first human being was put on the planet and walked with God. He had a relationship, a spiritual relationship with God. Things were good here. When sin entered in, chaos, and the Bible says he was kicked out of the garden, separated from God. And mankind, left to himself, is a shame. There's parents all the time that walk in. I like parents, especially when your kid gets to be a teenager. I can't tell you how many times my mom like, well, especially when I got caught. She's like, what were you thinking? And then she usually said a few colorful words in there with that. What in God's name of Huna Kamunica is going on here? What were you thinking? I had no answer for that. I was just being human. It smelled good, felt good. I thought it was going to be a thrill. I just jumped in. That's what happened. I listened to whatever my heart told me to do. That ought to be fun. You know how people do that. You meet somebody, you're like, hey, I know we've only known each other a few hours, but I think I'm in love. And then she sings, I think we're alone now. And then you know what happens? Yeah. I got a baby on the way. I don't know how that really happened. Well, let me tell you how it happened, and not the physical part. I think we all got that. You know how that happened? You listened to your wicked heart, the inside of you. And then once the act happened and the consequences come down, you're sitting back saying, my gosh, I'm a little messed up, ain't I? And everybody else is sitting around going, yeah, you didn't know that? You can't trust your heart. My heart's told me I've been in love with so many things for so long. It's a deceiver, isn't it? Now, anybody in here that's old enough and you've had some kids, sometimes it takes you to grow a little bit. If I ask anybody in this room that's over the age of 30, just like, hey, is your heart deceitful and desperately wicked? You're a Christian. Most people are going to like, yep, that's me. And let me tell you something, I can revert back to that guy. I can revert back to thinking that way. We call it a perversion. Don't think of sexual things. It's a perversion. Here's the truth. And any thinking outside of this book becomes distorted. It's perverted. Like in the marriage retreat we learned. It's like a mirage. You're like, I think I'm going to go get a drink over here. And by the time you get there, you're like, there's nothing to drink over here. You've convinced yourself that there was. Don't you? We realize that the human heart and life offers everything and it delivers nothing. It delivers nasty is what it delivers. Man, I just thought being married and I was going to be happy. I thought this is how it's, I thought having a kid, man, was just going to really solve all my, and I'm not saying sometimes it's been better, but you go through that whole process and you realize what? My gosh, I made an error. And I'm here to tell you, my thinking and me left to myself is not a good thing. Let me show you a verse, Proverbs 23:7. You ready? Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. And guys, here's what I want to do. I'm not going to cross the line here and talk about some serious mental illness that exists and people are seeing doctors or on medication. You know, there's some things I don't know. I get that. But I'm kind of generalizing this whole thing. And I'm here to tell you this. Most people think that, my gosh, my heredity is not very good. My mom was messed up. And guys, serious business. It's true. They were messed up and had some issues. And then my environment wasn't so great. You know, you think, where did you grow up? How did that go down? You know, and so I got bad genes, man. I was like, my gosh, you know, the day that God was putting that all together at the gene pool, there was no lifeguard on duty. And here I am. And then all of a sudden your environment's not so good. Well, that's going to spell out something, and that's going to spell out you're going to be messed up. Ma'am, you are going to be jacked up, right? And we like to think this, and that's we blame everything on this. Like, oh, well, that's just my personality. No, you're difficult, and you're difficult on purpose. Don't act like, well, that's just, and people say that, that's just who I am. They say that stuff so we can sit back and just say, oh, so he can't change. Because that's who he is. Dude, you put us in a bad spot. And what I think the Bible's going to do is, hey, take your feelings and flush them. They don't mean nothing. They're nothing. They're like dirty toilet paper, man. Get rid of those things. There's going to be disease everywhere if you think that's okay. Proverbs 23:7. You know what Proverbs 23:7 says? It says, for as a man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. Eat and drink, saith he then, but his heart is not with thee. For he that thinketh in his heart, so is he. He that thinketh in his heart, so is he. So like, my personality and who I am, it's determined by my circumstances. And most people want to sell you that. You know, between my heredity and my environment, well, that's funny. Because I see a guy over here with his bad environment and his heredity. Why is he doing so well and you're doing pretty poor? I know people that have a worse environment than him or her and a worse heredity. Way worse. And they're doing way better than you. What happens here? Well, here's what the Bible says. Deep on the inside of a man, the inside of the human, I should say. The Bible says that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So check this out, gang. You ready for this? The Bible just is simple on this. And I know I'm a simpleton because I'm a Bible believer. We are what we think. You are what you think. It's that clear. Even Jesus comes along and says, why does that girl talk that way? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's her heart. Well, I know that guy's talking like that, but he really ain't like that. No, I got news for you. That guy's heart is like that. People do that all the time. They make that excuse for their kid. He's really a good boy. Ma'am, no, he's not. No, he's not. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's who he is. So basically, here's what I'm saying. Your personality, you ready for this? This is the Bible. People will disagree with me on this, and you're welcome to, but I'm coming from a Bible standpoint. You can disagree with me if you want. Your personality, then, it's your evaluation of life. And with your sinful, deceitful heart, it's very possible that your evaluation is dead wrong. That's what a personality is. It's me. It's how I think. Hey, your personality, it's constructed by you. Huh? Ain't that funny? We do a parenting series every, I haven't done one for a few years, but we do a parenting series. You know the first time I always do a parenting series, the first night? I'm like, okay, parents, you got these little babies come out of the womb, and guess what? You're responsible. Now, at some point when your kid grows up and becomes a hellion, moms like to sit back and go, dads like to sit back and go, I don't know what happened to him. You know, so you're not responsible? Well, I was, and that, no, I get it. And hey, people got wills. Right? I get all of that. But we have to take the first night and say, hey, listen, as a parent, if you're going to do anything, you better own, at least own what's under your roof. If your cat is pooping on the floor, you got a dog that's peeing on the carpet, and you're just like, well, I just love him. And, you know, these kind of dogs have little bladders. They say they're very hard to train. Your dog's 5 years old. Put that dog in my house. If I don't want that dog to pee in this area, it's going to take me about 3 hours. He's going to realize when I pee in that area, it hurts. Something's wrong. What? Yeah. You know why? Because a dog left to himself is going to bring the owner shame. A heart left to itself is just going to live its deceitful way. And it's going to be a shame. You're going to be crazy. Absolutely crazy. My actions are produced by my attitudes. Somehow we got to stop this attitude in our homes and in our lives of saying like, at what point can you say, I'm not responsible? What point can you say, I can't help it? Do you know how crazy that sounds? When you say it like this publicly, I can't help it. She can't help it. Now, if you're a parent and your kids are this big, then you help it. Take responsibility. And somebody said, well, you can't do that because. And then the World Health Organization has told you that there's something going on in this little mind. Well, hey, my daughter works in the preschool class in town. Got two of them, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. She gets 20 kids at a time. Several of you in this room have worked in those type of situations. You'll know. We've got problems right now. Families are very broken. Children are broken. And guys, some kids have real special needs. Don't blanket me and think that I've said that don't exist. That's what people do to me all the time. You know, I'm not lying. I spoke a couple weeks ago. I've been told, I had two people tell me that I hurt their feelings. Hey, if the facts hurt your feelings, I'm okay with that. Seriously, it's going to help grow you up a little bit. But I want you to know something. I don't know your situation. I really don't. I don't know all the details. I think there's some real quirky things out there and issues and mental quirks. And I'm, like I said, I'm not a medical doctor. You know what I am? I'm a preacher. I preach the Bible. That's what I do. I just know that it's time we be responsible. So you are what you think. You know, and sometimes you look at the life and you're just like, you're looking, I don't like my life. Well, that's the life you chose. That's the life you, I didn't choose this. That's what people with mental health issues, they always try to say that. They put you in a spot where they're always just like, it's not my fault. This wasn't my choice. I was born this way. Everything the Bible says about the way I was born uses words like, I was born in sin. I was born a deceiver and a liar. So I would say, oh, I guess I could swallow that, if that's what you're saying. I was born all messed up, and I was born broken. I was born in chaos. And some people, I know you want to go and get some order put to your life. A lot of people do that. Eventually they discover that I need help. And guys will say that. Well, I'm glad I got married to her because she just ordered my life, got me all back together. You know, I got news for you. What about when she ain't around? You're going to go back to being that same three-year-old that just gets anything and everything they want because of your deceitful heart, like you deserve it? Or there is a God that provides redemption. He provides, the Bible says, a brand new heart. He can transform this ugly creature into something beautiful. That's what he says in the book of Corinthians. He says, I make new creatures. So gang, I'm killing my time here today. I had 3 points today and I really got through one of them. And what I really wanted to prove today was this. God's got a mind. God's got an opinion, and it is true and it's factual. The enemy lives to distort God's view. That's what the Bible says. In Genesis 3, he's like, yea, hath God said? And they're like, well, no, God said this. God didn't say that. God, you know what God meant? And he literally manipulated the mind to get people not to think this direction. Can you not think for yourself? So you got God with this opinion. You got the mind of the enemy that's trying to do anything he can to destroy. You ever notice that? Go to Matthew chapter 4. We'll do this next week. We'll go to Matthew chapter 4. It's the temptation of Christ. He's getting ready to start a public ministry, and the devil shows up and goes, you know what you ought to do? You ought to jump off right now and call the angels and they'll catch you. You know, hey, you ought to take these stones, right? Or you've been fast. I know you're hungry. You ought to make them. And every time Jesus says, the Bible says, the devil tried to manipulate his mind, and the victory always came when he was like, you know what I think? No. You know what God said? It's very factual. Everything the devil tried to play on it usually ended up being something on the inside to a deceitful heart that was based on feelings. Every time. God's got it here. The devil's working his magic here, and you are in the middle. And it's like a tug of war. So the question is, what are you going to do? Which side are you on? Almost all mental and emotional problems, they're just a result of improper thinking for a long period of time. In 1 Corinthians 2, God says, I love you so much, I want to give you my mind on the subject. We got it here. We should be the most mentally healthy people in the culture, Christians. It don't mean you have the perfect lives. A lot of us come to Christ because of what? Problems. This. Emptiness. Bad relationships. Bad childhood. Addictions. We have had issues and troubles that brought us to Jesus Christ. I'm not saying your life's perfect. But in the midst of being imperfect, Jesus Christ comes along and gives you a new heart. And you can stay up and say, oh yeah, there's a lot of things wrong for sure. But there's a lot of things right now. Right? And I'm set straight. I know what God says on the subject, and I know what he says about me, and I got a new heart, and I'm a new creature. That's not who I used to be. That's not me. That's why you find a Christian just like, oh, I didn't know you were an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a Christian. Now, I struggle with alcohol, dude, but I'm a Christian. Oh, you're not labeling yourself as a drunk, because I'm not. I know what God's word says. You see the difference there? Does everybody got that? So that was kind of the point today. We are what we think. And almost all emotional and mental problems are really just us not thinking properly. That's all that means. It's just that simple. It's time. And some people are like, why can't I try this and that? I get it, but when you try on your own, that's crazy. I got a deceitful heart. I'm going to have all the answers and try to figure this out. No, it's not going to happen. So that's why we're here. That's why God gave us a book, man. That's why God gave us a church. That's why God gave us, I come to some of you sometimes with issues and problems. And you know what I want to say? I want to say all the time, hey man, I need help with this. Help me figure this thing out. And some people take, you know what God's word says, Mike? Hey Mike, I think you're overthinking this. I've had people say, hey pastor, be careful here. And they speak truth into my life and it takes my feelings. And you know what it does? Well, feelings matter. I'm not saying feelings do matter and feelings are real. You elevate your feelings above the facts and guess what? Crazy! You are crazy! It'll cause you to be nutty. Some people are more professional nuts than others. It's true. Some of us, our nuttiness is better and it looks good. And some people think that's cool. And you become an artist and you can probably even make money on it if you continue down that path. But I'm telling you right now, God's word is the book of truth. Can I get an amen? God's mind is always right. And if your mind ever wants to contradict it, you're going to enter the world of chaos. You're going to enter the world of trouble. You'll always be ill. Always making your decision. Everybody's got opinions. I guess I just want to say that in this room. Everybody's got them. There's one opinion that matters. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, it's true. And Lord, in a world that struggles with this, Lord, we in this room, we struggle just being healthy in our minds. And God, every time we try to live and it goes contrary to your word, it never works out right because your word is truth. God, I pray that you would help us not to just buy everything that people are selling. I pray that we just not start meowing late at night. I pray that we would seek your word and find out what truth is. I pray that we would submit our feelings under the facts of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us attain a spot where we're healthy, where our mind is clean and renewed. And so, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for just the fun we've had. Thanks for breakfast and eating together and just being together today. Lord, thanks for the dads in the room. I pray dads today are encouraged. Lord, even in the midst of their failure, man, I pray today they're honest with it, they can own it, and they can be on the road to health, man, on the road to being just like you. So, Jesus, thank you. We love you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen.